Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new edition of the LWIM podcast, or the LWIM powered podcast, Absolute Truth. Absolutely. This is your host, Gio, youth leader of LWIM in Miami. I want to say this. The debate on Tuesday was extraordinary, amazing, fulfilling. It was a little bit of everything. Wonderful is probably the singular word that I would employ to describe the momentous occasion of this debate that occurred on Tuesday. Some people might ask, what debate are you talking about, Gio? Well, the much publicized debate between Ken Ham, founder, creator of the Creation Museum, and a creationist, a young earth creationist, debating Bill Nye the Science Guy, a humanist and an evolutionist. I implore you to visit the website, debatelive.org. debatelive.org, as they have the entirety of the process uploaded on the internet for anyone to watch. You must take a very, very, very close listen and be very attentive to the points that Ken Ham made. Especially some of these notions that are combated. We're talking about erroneous perspectives that many evolutionists and the like and their ilk have promulgated throughout the entire culture, mainly being most everyone within the scientific community is an evolutionist, and they consider creationism that of a crank, that a theory of a lunatic. And this is not true. I implore you to watch some of the clips that Ken Ham was able to bring forth about some very, very, very famous creation scientists that have created some of the most advanced technological inventions known to mankind that have helped us so much. Did you know that the inventor of the MRI scanner, Dr. Damadian, is a young earth creationist? That's right. And others. Visit the website, watch the entirety of the debate, sit down with your parents, with your colleagues, whomever you can invite. Show them the debate. Listen very closely and also pay attention to the substantive aspect of the debate. This is specifically what I want to talk about today. I've noticed that we live in a very superficial society, an artificial society, and I understand that. Many people are caught up in criticizing things in an artificial manner instead of looking at it objectively and substantively. It's very important that if you are going to be a neutralistic individual, what do I mean by neutralistic? A person who sees things objectively, without bias, if you will. Even though we need prejudices, I understand that, and you need discrimination, I understand that also. But I'm talking about as it pertains to empirical evidence, for example, just one of the many cases, or one of the many instances in where it's important to be neutral. When you're talking about empirical evidence that showcases, that predicts our origins, this is important to look at the so-called evidence with unbiased eyes. And I'm going to tell you something. This is just my point of view and from what I saw. Everything that Ken Ham brought forth couldn't be more true. And yet, when Bill Nye expostulates, promulgates his ideas of why evolution is true and why creationism is a crank's theory, it falls short. It falls flat on its face. Here's the point. Some people might be saying as they listen to me say this, well, that's just your opinion. There comes a point where things leave the realm of opinion and now enter into the sphere of fact. They no longer belong to the exclusive world universe of opinion, which is subjective, which is relative, and now they belong in the sphere, in the universe of absolutism. If not, you would have to consider even the truth an opinion, and now there's a free-for-all. There is no such thing as absolute truth, which is what atheists and secularists and humanists would have you believe. This is not the case. Listen to the points that Ken Ham brings forth. Listen objectively. And you'll notice that many of the critics who were already predisposed to call Ken Ham an idiot and lambaste him with verbal jousting, obviously did not pay attention or were predisposed to automatically discount everything that Ken Ham brought forth. For example, some of the more cockamamie excuses I've heard is, all he did was reason from a book. That's not true. Besides, if we're going to employ that argument, most scientists, even secularists, would quote from a book. So just by saying that this individual quoted from a book and therefore that evidence that he brings forth cannot be reliable is utterly ridiculous. The other excuse I've heard in order to try to dismiss Ken Ham's arguments is the following. Arguing from a book that is 3,500 or more years old. Well, guess what? If that's the case, if we're going to apply that logic universally, we should automatically discard Euclid, Newton, Josephus, so many other books of antiquity, because since they are old, they are dated, we have to discard them. Because I guess there is a statute of limitations on information. Guess what? I don't know a singular scientist who would dismiss Newton's discovery of the law of gravity. It's still relevant. And even though many people have said today, well, the theory of relativity that Isaac Newton brought forth has now been debunked, there are others that say that this is not true. Guess what? It's still proper in our modern day and age. So if they're going to apply that principle, they have to apply it universally and say, let's discard everything of the past and let's just go with modern discovery. That's lunacy. How can you have modern discovery, new discoveries, without knowledge of the past, without knowledge of what others have built upon? You'd have to start all over again. You'd have to begin from the very beginning and start from there and then move your way up. Every single generation would have to do that, and nobody would be able to ever accomplish what we have accomplished in our day and age, technologically speaking, with advancements, because each generation builds on what a previous generation had established. That's the way it works. These arguments are nonsensical, and they're made by people who believe that they are leaders somehow, or free thinkers, as they commonly say or denote themselves to be, yet they're anything but. They're simple followers. They're simpletons, and not only are they simpletons, they're imbeciles. Some might say, Gio, you're being personally demeaning. The truth of the matter is that some people are so blind that they cannot see. They cannot see the idiocy of their statements. I'm not saying that it is impossible for that person to get out of that, to escape that ignorance. But it's interesting that Jesus himself says that he came to this world to open the eyes of the blind, and that those that see, those eyes would be blinded. Interestingly enough, people do this to themselves. Some people say, oh, so Jesus does this? No, people bring this upon to themselves. In essence, what Jesus was trying to say is, if you negate Jesus, if you negate the truth of what we find in the Gospels, you are self-admitting. You are allowing blindness to set in into your own life, into your own mind. Because you are negating the truth that hits you right in front of the face and you choose not to accept it. So, point A, point one, I don't know, whichever you want to categorize here or use, employ. When you hear these people, when you hear many of these individuals, and I've even heard a lot of creationists make silly arguments in support of Ken Ham, they're not even focusing on the substantive, which is what we do. We're supposed to focus on the substantive. Our society, our culture is so based on the artificial that we're so willing to say, for example, this person won over this person. In a debate, it's not about winning. It's about who expostulates truth. What is the truth? What is the lie? What is that that we should follow? What is this that we should dismiss? It's not about who won. I even read one articleist from a very, very, very communistic website say that debates are nothing more than places where we go to be impressed. And whoever impresses the best, that's the person who wins. And that's what debates are all about. This guy, I'm telling you, this guy is a demagogue of uber characteristics, of utter proportions. This could not be further from the truth. No, all he's doing is promulgating the same erroneous idea that others have disseminated. And that is, when you go to a debate, focus on who wins, who says things the best way, who makes the best PowerPoint presentation, who is able to mock, belittle the opponent in the best manner. That's what we're focusing on. Not on the substantive, not on what these people are actually saying, but rather on that which is artificial, the looks. And many people have brought about criticisms towards the debate in this vein. I'm not saying that we should silence those people. Everyone that has listened to these podcasts and knows my views understands that I believe that we should have free exploration of these things and we should have free dissemination of people's thoughts. We shouldn't have this PC culture that we're currently living in, this politically correct culture. If a person wants to disseminate their garbage, guess what? We also have equal dissemination and with the same amount of impetus, the truth. Because at the same time, you'll notice that when the truth is spoken with equal ardor, with equal energy that falsehood, contemptibility is promulgated, deceit, truth does two things. First and foremost, it counteracts falsehood and shows falsehood for what it is, deceit, lies. And secondly, it says, move to that falsehood and now says, here's the truth. Here's the truth. If you want it, accept it. If not, it's your decision. It's your grave. That's what it's all about. That's what this is all about. So I thoroughly enjoy this. And I hope that in the future, you adopt this mentality, because there are also some sort of stratagems, machinations out there that are very weird. And I just have a little bit of time left, but I want to showcase, I want to share this with you. Recently, I went on to the Twitter sphere to prove my point. I went on the Twitter sphere to see what people were saying about the debate. And I went to different YouTube pages and different Facebook pages. I don't have a Facebook page, but you can see other people's Facebook pages and see what they were saying about the debate. See what the consensus, if you will, what it is that people opined about it. Remember, opinions, in many cases, are nothing more than just that. Opinions are nothing more than just that. But many times they have to move because of what a person is acknowledging is true. They move from that an opinion based to fact. And very few people were actually very objective and criticizing the actual debate based on the substantive. They were criticizing it based on the look and on the artificial. And one of the things that caught my eye was a particular person tweeting the following. I'm not going to quote verbatim, but he said, Ken Ham's expostulation should be secondhand at best because there wasn't an Old Testament scholar there to make the case. Why an Old Testament scholar? All of a sudden, I found myself in the midst with in a Twitter debate, if you will, with this individual who is a pastor or an interim pastor from a Texas church, and whom, upon further review, is not only a Calvinist, a recalcitrant Calvinist, and on top of this, an individual who has an elitist mentality, who says the only people who are apt to deal with this sort of situation are individuals who have gone to universities and have obtained degrees. That is another erroneous mentality, part of the artificiality that we have adopted in our society. Gio, but wouldn't you trust a person that has a degree? Ladies and gentlemen, even in academia, even in the realms of intelligentsia, of the ivory towers, there is error, there is deceit, there is lies. So my question to you is this. So now if we can't even trust those that go to school and supposedly have obtained a degree saying that these people are supposed to be the brightest among us and are supposed to cure diseases and help find new discoveries, so on and so forth, what do? You look for trustworthiness. I'm not talking about placing trust in man. You look for the track record. You look for how abundant their knowledge is on a particular field. And this was, I found it contemptible from this individual who says he's a Christian. I can't judge his salvation, but he says he's a Christian. I cannot simply dismiss and discount the person because he doesn't have a PhD attached to his name. When there are many people throughout the history of the world that are autodidacts, meaning they are self-taught, who have acquired such knowledge that they themselves have left the so-called experts with profound astonishment. How do you explain that? Well, it's explained in the following manner. God gives knowledge. God gives wisdom. It's readily available for anybody that is willing to do the due diligence and research it. This person, in one of his tweets, sidestepped saying explicitly to me that he believes only elitists are able to tap into that knowledge. He didn't say it explicitly, but I was able to corner him into sort of admitting it, and that is his belief. That is contemptible. That couldn't be further from the truth. And he even calls people who are autodidacts, laymen, who have studied these things, pop level. How do you say that? Seriously? Seriously. Again, superficialities, artificialities. Do you know how much damage has been done to the world by people who have PhDs, doctorates attached to their names, and then they adopt silly arguments or they promulgate silly, contemptible, deceitful arguments, and lo and behold, now humanity is, or a portion of humanity is destroyed because of it. Very, very, very interesting. Indeed, I could spend hours talking about this, about the implications of simply lending our attention or giving it away to those that supposedly are brightest among us and trusting them so much that we're willing simply to hand over our hearts to them and then they do with them as they please. We could speak about this forever and ever and ever. But guess what? Suffice it to say that from what I'm seeing, from my perspective, first and foremost, I thought the debate was needed and excellent. And contrary to what a famous supposed conservative talk radio show host, whose last name is Beck and first name is Glenn, says that this was idiotic because this does not unite the country. It's, to me, honestly, is an idiotic statement in and of itself. Because how can you, having supposedly known or knowing the dangers of social Darwinism, have spoken out against it, not see the tie between the theory of evolution and social Darwinianism, or social Darwinism, excuse me? How do you not tie those ends and not see it necessary to expose this to the public and what they're doing to our kids in the public schools? Even more so, this individual has taken to the radio airwaves and to TV and so on and so forth and talking about the indoctrination of the masses through the public school system, and now you call this debate idiotic. Yeah, I don't find you credible. This is not credible. Anyways, parentheses aside, how can individuals like this say that this is not needed? It's absolutely needed. This is what exchanges, free exchanges of thoughts does. It exposes the falsehood for what it is, and it also showcases the truth so that all those that are willing to simply accept and adopt it will be made free. John 8:32. If you abide in my word, Jesus says, you will indeed be my disciples. And if you know the truth, that truth shall set you free. You just have to come to the knowledge of Christ. And that's one of the outstanding things that I think that Ken Ham did. He presented the gospel on two or three occasions. Used the creation narrative to present the gospel. Last but not least, I implore you, it does not matter, we've spoken about this before, it does not matter what other people or the majority believes. Simply because a majority believes it doesn't make that belief system true. At one point in our country, the majority believed slavery was acceptable. Guess what? It's never been. Just because the majority adopts something doesn't make it true. So even if you have your friends, teachers, whatever the case may be, mocking you because you are a young earth creationist, stand proud that you are believing God. Don't fall in line with those that have compromised the message of the gospel and in doing so are calling God a liar. How do they do that, Gio? By saying, well, I don't believe in the creation narrative. I believe it might have happened that God created humanity through evolution. So therefore, we're compromising with the evolutionists here. But at the same time, you're calling God a liar. Don't compromise the truth. The truth is too precious and has so much benefit for society to just simply say, I discard you. Don't do that. Be objective, be sincere, and make sure that you look at these things with clear eyes that only the Bible can give as each and every one of us can provide. I thank you for listening. I thank you for downloading these podcasts. Please share them with your friends, family members, coworkers, co-students, teachers, whatever the case may be, so they too may know the truth in a world full of uncertainty. Thank you once again. If you're in the Miami vicinity, visit us every single Friday night. We practice, I don't know, celebrate, some people might say, our Friday night youth meetings. 8 p.m. We are located at 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. If you have any questions, drop me a line. Gio@lwym.org. My Twitter page, @GiovanniDC. That's spelled JIOVANNEDC. I have a blog, uncompromisedtruth.wordpress.com, and our website, lwym.org. Until the next occasion that we meet, may the Lord shine his face upon you.